use of his month. The blessed month of Ramadan is a month of prayer and supplication. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has recommended us to demand great things from God whenever we raise our hands for prayer, because nothing is great and hard for God. Oh Allah, whenever we ask you something, you hear our voice, and the rain of your bounties will always fall on us. You never look at our sins and transgression. You just grant us out magnanimously. Help us thank you and praise you. Amen. The Prophet of Islam says, if a person likes God to hear his prayer and give him what he asks for, he should give up hope in people and have no hope except in God. Whenever such a state of the servant's heart is clear to God, he will give him whatever he asks for. Dear listeners, a servant should know that the command and will of God runs in every beat of the universe, and he will entrust it to whomever he finds qualified. Therefore, only God and his chosen servants have authority over the creatures. Yet, these chosen servants do not do anything without his permission. Thus, we should know that nothing will happen without God's permission. No leaf will fall from a tree without his permission, as nothing is out of his power. In the next part of Dua Iftitah, or the supplication of the opening or starting, we pray to God, O Allah, indeed I ask you a little from the plenty while I need it greatly. And you have been self-sufficient of it since all times, and this demand is ample to me while it is easy and simple for you. This part of the supplication shows the humility and triviality of the servant before God. It shows his absolute need compared to God's absolute self-sufficiency. Our whole being, both the body and the spirit, is needy. A little bit of attention to breathing, eating, walking, listening, and seeing reveals our need. In other words, we possess a number of facilities which will cause fundamental problems in our life if a small problem occurs in any of them. For instance, if a tiny nerve or vessel does not function properly, the whole muscle will be in problem. This is just a physical problem, while psychological, spiritual, and social problems are much greater and more complicated. Let us see how we can solve these problems. Honestly speaking, who can help us solve problems and fulfill needs except God? We often think that if we ask little from God, he will give it more easily, whereas the infallible leaders teach us to ask great things from God. For God, nothing is difficult or great. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, has taught us to appeal to God with these words, which are recited every day in the month of Rajab. Give me through my asking you all good things in the world and all good things in the hereafter. Another important point is that we should ask for both small and great things from God. Our infallible imams have told us to demand even our shoelace from God. This is to make us heedful of our triviality and poverty before God. To put it clearly, If God does not help us through the faculty of thinking and other powers, we will fail to get even that shoelace. A scholar has said, our needs are the ways for relation with God. Even the smallest and most common needs, like food and clothing, are the liaisons to take us closer to God. When a servant appeals to God to meet all his demands and God fulfills them, he thanks God, and this will make his bond firmer with God. Such a servant starts his food with mentioning Allah's name and ends it with his name. He does the same when drinking water. This will grant him proximity of God and will make God satisfied with him. However, we should know that fact that God is wise and he does not do anything unwisely. In view of this, if some of our needs are not fulfilled, we shouldn't complain, as God knows best our needs and how and when to fulfill them. Moreover, any things that we ask God may not be to our benefit, as God has stressed in the Quran.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Some time ago, there was a man who was saying that, I wish time had given me enough opportunity to express love to my wife and my children, but soon did I realize that they were no more in the world. And then he would suggest every third person to be expressing love to their wives, to their children. So this was the point that you wanted to discuss in the previous session, but we did not have enough time to shed more light on that. We were talking about the key points to develop a better parent-child relationship, and the first thing that you said was truthfulness, and the second point that you were discussing was to express love.
The first stage of that, of course, is having that love. You should feel love for other human beings. It's easy to love your children. It's easy to love those who are your offsprings. But the problem is sometimes that love is also diluted by the fact that they do things which make you feel offended and bad about them. So maybe you lose that love, or you lose that compassion, or you are not able to express it. So number one, we need to understand what is that love inside us. That is important.
All right.
Is it just a feeling of, and it's an outburst of emotions or something, or it's much more deeper than that? Love is something, yes, it is an attitude. It is something more to, which is rooted in our feelings and in our emotions and how we feel towards others.
Okay.
And feel attracted towards others, maybe. But it has a basis in our understanding and in our cognition, in our knowledge, our deep-rooted knowledge, in our very nature as human beings. We have the love for ourselves, and we have the love for our Lord, Allah Almighty, and whatever Allah has created, we should love, because He has love for all of His creations, because He has created them. In the same way, we human beings should love all His creations. We love all human beings. Allah Almighty loves all His creations. If He feels bad about them, I mean, He doesn't, of course, we can't say feelings, there's no sense of feelings about Allah Almighty, but if He's angry with them, it is because of their behavior.
Yeah.
In the same way, we should love and all our human beings, we should have love for our family members, we should have love for our offspring and our children deep down in our hearts, with that understanding and cognition that it is because of the love that Allah has created in us, and because we are His manifestations, and love is a very important factor of our lives, and without love we cannot even live. So, but the important thing is how to express it. Expression of love is important. When we, for example, talk about the mawaddat of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam.
All right.
So we are asked, what is the difference between mawadda and muhabba?
All right.
As is mentioned in the Quran, that Allah Almighty asked the Holy Prophet to command or to ask His people to give Him a compensation for His mission, for the mission He has carried out. The compensation that He wants is the mawadda of the Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
And mawadda is considered to be love which is expressed, which is shown, shown through actions and through behaviors and through words. So mahabba and love can be deep down inside us as a feeling, as an understanding, but it is much more when it is expressed. That is true. The expression of love is more than what is inside. It is more important. It is much more important to be able to express that love in a proper manner. So the expression is important, as you have just pointed out. Expressing your love
is important.
Is much more important than having that love. Sometimes we do have that love.
Yeah.
But we don't express it.
Yeah. Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we have had the pleasure to be with Professor Nakavi. Professor Nakavi, you were discussing about expression of love.
So the expression of love is the expression of love is having this understanding and feelings down inside us, but it's the expression in number one, how we talk to our children, how we give them respect and dignity. As a result of us, sometimes we say, oh, we love them, but we should scold them as much as possible. Because we love them, therefore we should always be trying to reprimand them for the evil doings or wrongdoings or the bad things they do. No, the expression of love is to talk to them with honor, with dignity, with affection, with compassion, and to make them realize that they are human beings who have to be given respect. And scolding them in front of others would be not a good way of expressing your love. Therefore, the manner in you express your love is important. Number one, do express your feelings, whether it is to your spouse, or it is to your children. Do express, take out time
to
express your love. Expression of love is using good, nice words, loving words is one thing. Honoring them with words of praise.
Sometimes with actions.
And the third thing is through actions. And actions, sometimes the most important thing, what do they need? They need your time. They need your. They want you to talk to them. They want you to want them to share. They want you as a friend whom they can share their feelings with. So one of the problems which we have with our new generations, the future generations, there's a communication gap. Because of that communication gap, we start to find the points which are
alternative ways of love.
Yes, then because we have so much of a difficulty in communicating with our children,
yeah,
or our children with their parents, there are so many points and issues which we differ in. And because of our difference of opinion, we start to argue. We start to prove our point of view and argue with them and say, look, what I'm saying is correct. You have to accept what I say. And the children feel offended.
So even if you're trying to say that whenever we are angry with our, even when we are angry with our children and we are trying to tell them that my consent is not with your actions, whatever you're doing. So in that behavior as well, love should be expressed.
We shouldn't go to the stage where we need to start to argue with them. There shouldn't be a stage where you need to, you start yelling and shouting at each other or trying to even argue and justify what you're saying. If it leads to a sort of conflict, no, it shouldn't be in such a way that the child realizes that what you're saying is based on logic. It is based on your concern with him or her. But it shouldn't be a stage where he feels that he needs to argue back.
Yeah.
So you need to make him realize that since you love him and love her, you need to make him understand that what you are saying is based on your love and your concern for him.
Concern. So he should be understanding the concern. Because as we have been talking about the teens, they shortly try to make some of the decisions which I'll be discussing after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will write a reward for he who kisses his child, and Allah will bring happiness on Judgment Day to he who makes his child happy.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we have Professor Salman Nakavi with us. And we are discussing expression of love. Professor Nakavi, I was saying that when we have teens and if we don't
behave with them in a proper way. Like, we do love them. We do love our children, especially when they are teens. And we, despite of being friends with them, we try to give them more advices, or we fail to show our concern in our advices, which leads them to the thinking that there's no one in this world who loves me, or there's no one in this world who cares about me. We often hear that from especially who are in the teenage.
So we need to listen to them. If we love them, if we want to show them our respect, as I also mentioned before, we need to become good listeners. We should.
So sometimes being a good listener,
they need a friend who can open up with. Now, if you're going to always impose your thoughts upon them, even if they are correct, even if you know that you're right, and you know that your child is wrong, even then, the result would be that he or she would start closing. He or she would not become open up with you, and he or she would shut you off, and would not listen to you anymore. So if that stage comes, then the problem is then he or she will not continue to communicate with you and will find alternatives.
Yeah, there will so be you much need to keep, more gap.
And that would be more problematic. So you need to be able to keep an open channel between yourself and your child. And that is through the show of love and the expression of love, and making the person, your child, realize that whatever you are doing, it is for his or her welfare, and it is due to your love and your concern for him or her. And then you need to be able to listen to his or her feelings. She or he should be able to open up with you. And then gradually you need to, you know, shepherd them.
Yeah.
And to guide them in a very subtle manner towards what is right. Make them realize, make them be able to carry out critical thinking themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to show them how to swim, not to take them by their hands and make them swim or walk. You need to teach them how to walk, not to take them by their hands and make them walk as you want them to do so. That is the problem which we as parents have usually. The problem which we are faced is that we need to impose our whatever we do and want them to do, we need to, and want them to do it automatically as a robot. So we need to create creativity and critical analysis.
Let them develop as they are going on with the time. So you don't have to impose all those things what you are actually wanting them to be, walk this way, talk this way, or behave this way. So rather than imposing on them all the time, you have to let them talk and let them express. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us and telling us so important points. So the important thing out here is that to develop a better parent-child relationship, you got to be truthful with them, and you got to be expressing your love with them. And we'll discuss more on this topic in the upcoming episodes. Until then, I bid you farewell. And in case you want to listen to our programs again, go back to our official website, that's parstoday.ir, and go to the tab COI, Call of Islam, and you'll find our old programs, the archive of our programs over there. And in case you have any queries for us or any questions, any feedback, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on the social media platforms by just typing Call of Islam Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a famous saying from the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rizā, peace be upon him, who on this day in the year 201 AH was declared heir apparent by the crafty Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun in order to deceive the Muslim masses. If the Caliphate is your right you have no right to give to others what God has determined for you. And if it is not your right, how can you pass on to others that which does not belong to you at all?
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
On September 8, 2022, Queen Elizabeth II died at the age of 96. As her death prompted an outpouring of grief from her admirers, it also revived criticism of her legacy, bringing into relief the complex feelings of those who consider her as a symbol of the British colonial empire, an institution that enshrined itself through violence, theft, and oppression. Elizabeth II died less than a year after Barbados removed her as its head of state and became a republic, a move that partly stemmed from growing criticism of the British monarchy among Caribbean countries.
Presiding within the English colonial rule, it becomes the laboratory for plantation societies in the Caribbean. It is in Barbados that English law, for the first time, knows a distinction in the racial status of subjects of the crown, in the sense that laws are passed which say essentially the people who are Negroes, and that word is borrowed from the Spanish, are fit for particular kinds of punitionary laws, as the text runs. So it is, Barbados thus becomes the laboratory for a slave society, which is then exported to Jamaica in the 1650s and 60s, and to the Carolinas and then Georgia after that.
Others, including Jamaica, have hinted at declaring their independence too.
60 years of independence. We have not forgotten, and we demand an apology and reparation.
Our goal is to loosen and remove the hands, the gloved hands of the Queen from around our necks so that we can breathe.
Earlier in August, Senator Lydia Thorpe of Australia called Queen Elizabeth a colonizer during her swearing-in ceremony.
To the colonizing Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth
II. Senator Thorpe. The start of Queen Elizabeth's reign in 1952 coincided with her government ordering the suppression of the Mau Mau independence uprising in Kenya.
We made the point repeatedly that it looked extremely immoral for Her Majesty's government, which is not contesting and has in fact admitted that atrocities were committed, torture was committed, that they have admitted. Now for them to continue relying on technicalities, being well aware that the majority of these victims are in the 80s, late 80s, that many of them live in squalid poverty, that many of them are not even able to afford health care in their old age. What could be more despicable? What could be more immoral than Her Majesty's government to continue as it were, to buy time, simply to wait for all these veterans to die one by one before tasting justice?
Much of the protesters were put in concentration camps and used as slave labor if they weren't murdered by British soldiers. Almost 1 year after the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, she oversaw one of the nastiest coup d'etats in modern history. Planned by Britain's MI6 and then executed by America's CIA, the coup overthrew Iran's democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh, paving the way for the tyrannical regime of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi that lasted for almost three decades and sowing distrust of the British among the Iranian nation. Elizabeth's reign was marked by rocky periods of irregular violence abroad, including Britain's ill-fated attempt to gain control of the Suez Canal in 1956 and the Falklands War, a 10-week-long battle with Argentina in 1982, in which the British responded to Buenos Aires' reclamation of territory with flames of war. Closer to home, the British Army waged its longest military campaign to date, Operation Banner, an effort to establish order during the Troubles, a bloody sectarian conflict that engulfed much of Northern Ireland between 1968 and 1998. British troops were given a green light to massacre 14 civilians in Northern Ireland on a protest march against Britain's policy of jailing Catholics without trial. The British establishment oversaw cover-up inquiries into what became known as Bloody Sunday. In the twilight years of the Queen's rule, her government invaded Iraq on the pretext of destroying non-existent weapons of mass destruction. During the long years of a joint British and U.S. occupation, it is likely that more than 1 million Iraqis died and millions more were driven from their homes. Over centuries, the UK has funneled trillions of dollars from its colonies to enrich itself. The monarchy was built on slavery, establishing a slave trade that saw the transport of millions of Africans and South and North Americans to other countries. The slave trade was so vast, in fact, that it wasn't until 2015 that the country fully paid off its debts to slave owners from freeing slaves in the 19th century. Although Queen Elizabeth II did not herself enact these policies, her reign was a continuation of the earlier ones. Some historians believe she bears responsibility for all these atrocities. In the words of Harvard University history professor Maya Jasanoff, by design as much as by the accident of her long age, her presence as head of state and head of the Commonwealth, an association of Britain and its former colonies, put a stolid traditionalist front over decades of violent upheaval. As such, the Queen helped obscure a bloody history of decolonization whose proportions and legacies have yet to be adequately acknowledged. All in all, as Commander-in-Chief of the British Armed Forces, Queen Elizabeth oversaw a great number of wars and conflicts, including the Mau Mau Uprising in Kenya, the Jebel Akhdar War in Oman, the Cyprus Emergency, the Suez Crisis in Egypt, the Border Campaign in Ireland, the First Cod War in Iceland, the Upper Jaffa Disturbance in Yemen, the Dhofar Rebellion in Oman, the Indonesia-Malaysia confrontation in Borneo, the Aden Emergency in Yemen, the Troubles in Northern Ireland, the Second Cod War in Iceland, the Third Cod War in Iceland, the Falklands War in Argentina, the Multinational Force in Lebanon, the Persian Gulf War in Iraq, the Bosnian War, Operation Desert Fox in Iraq, the Kosovo War, the Sierra Leone Civil War, the War in Afghanistan, the Iraq War, the First Libyan Civil War, Operation Shader in Iraq and Syria. Taraka Love, senior newsletter writer for New York Magazine, wrote, "For 96 years, that colonizer has been sucking up the Earth's resources. You can't be a literal oppressor and not expect the people you have oppressed not to rejoice on news of your death." Last but not least, the royal family's deep-seated racism appeared to persist even to the last days of the Queen. In 2020, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, left the royal family over racism within the family. Like all monarchs, Elizabeth was both an individual and an institution. As for her individual life, there is little information beyond her love of horses and dogs or a dysfunctional family. As an institution, not much to take pride in. A disappeared empire and a list of wars that claimed many innocent lives.
Thank you. today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. In the sixth of Ramadan 1444, please accept our salam and salutations from this program. Today is a special from IRIB English Radio.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
Dear brothers and sisters, today is Tuesday, is the 6th of Ramadan, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Farvardin, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment of today's special, we'll listen to chapter Al-Kahf, verse 58.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ma ashhadtuhum khalqa as-samawati wal-ardi wala khalqa anfusihim wa ma kuntum muttakhidhal mudillina 'udda.
I did not make them witness to the creation of the heavens and the earth, or to the creation of themselves, and I would not have taken the misguiders as assistants.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah is both just and all forgiving. His justice requires that the sinners must be punished, but because of His forgiveness, His respites men to repent. Then if he does not repent, He will treat him with His justice. Thus, the manner of Allah in training men is that He respites them up to the last stage, and unlike to the arrogant people of the world, He never punishes them promptly. But His all-embracing mercy always requires that He gives the evildoers the maximum respite. Dear brothers and sisters, in Persian we have a famous compound that is the spring of servitude, that is special for the month of Ramadan. So for today, on the spring of servitude, we'll look at the ways of servitude. We are fortunate to have Ramadan, the blessed month of mercy and forgiveness, back in our lives once again. Alhamdulillah, this month excels all other months regarding sublimity and nobility. It's sublime because it is the month of Allah, and it's noble because it revives our souls as rainwater revives the parched and barren earth. Our souls, due to excess of sins and negligence of Allah's remembrance, become unresponsive to the remembrance of Allah and words of guidance. Ramadan, the August month of mercy and forgiveness, brings back life in our souls with fasting, prayers, reading of Holy Quran, abstinence from sins, and increased remembrance of Allah. As each moment of this glorious month is vitally important, we should make our best efforts to receive maximum benefit from this blessed month.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The holy month of Ramadan, the only month of the year mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. That's how special it is. At this stage, some of us could be a bit overwhelmed or perhaps slightly intimidated. So much going on, so much to prepare for and to do as well. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us great news about Ramadan. It's the month of Allah. Every month belongs to the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this one he has specially selected. We are all his guests, and there are plentiful gifts for each person accepting his invitation. What a great honor. Hence, it's a month full of mercy, forgiveness, and blessings. It has the best days, the best nights, and the best hours. Even sleeping during Ramadan is considered worship. But please don't sleep too much. Given all this and more, we must value and cherish every moment of it and embrace it with positivity and excitement. Leave any worries or negative thoughts today and welcome this month with huge anticipation. In the Holy Quran, chapter 2, 185, we may have come across the ayah that tells us Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, full of guidance and distinction, etc. But at the end, we may have not paid attention to what the Almighty wants us to do. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Be thankful, he says. When you're invited to a magnificent feast with so many delicacies and so much food, or someone showers you with gifts, you feel so indebted to them. And usually, you express thanks and gratitude. This month is all about thankfulness and saying Alhamdulillah all the time. We mustn't let anything change that. It's all about the mindset of a grateful servant of God who does what the Almighty has asked, knowing it's for his or her own benefit. The Prophet's sermon, Welcoming Ramadan, is a great starting point and a must read today. Over 23 brilliant pointers are mentioned to really inspire us during the holy month. For example, if we improve our mannerism in Ramadan, the Prophet promises that we will obtain a special pass on the day of judgment on the bridge going to paradise when many will fail. Similarly, the Holy Messenger warns anyone who cuts family ties in this month with the severing of God's mercy from them on the day of Qiyamah. Read and discuss this sermon with friends and family and perhaps draw up a personal plan of action and review throughout the weeks.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes. وَمَضَاتُ خَيْرٍ لِلْعِبَادِ وَمَضَاتُ نُورٍ لِلْفُؤَادِ وَمَضَاتُ خَيْرٍ لِلْعِبَادِ وَمَضَاتُ نُورٍ لِلْفُؤَادِ
Again, Ramadan and the Spring of Souls. One of the most well-known exegist of the Holy Quran, Allama Tabatabai, may Allah bless his souls, elucidates the spiritual merits of fasting and explains how fasting results in piety and nearness to Allah. He said, "There is no doubt that one may achieve piety through fasting. Everyone naturally feels that for union with the sublime world of holiness and for rising to the height of perfection and spirituality, man should first of all restrain himself from gratifying material desires. He should keep away from satisfying the body's lust and purge his soul from the love of worldly affairs. This is piety, taqwa, which is achieved through abstinence from lust and desires. Even more beneficial and more effective for the common man is the abstinence from common lawful desires like food and drink. This trains him to keep away from unlawful things and creates in him the will to guard himself against sin and evil and to come nearer to Allah.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio and how to serve Allah in Ramadan. Remembering Allah is essential in achieving closeness to Him. You can remember Him by engaging in dhikr. Keep your tongue busy remembering Allah. Dhikr is a powerful tool to increase the taqwa. Integrate dhikr in the days and nights of Ramadan. We need to ask Allah for His help, especially if it is to get closer to Him or become better at worshipping Him. We need to seek refuge in Allah in everything. Say Astaghfirullah, Allah, to erase your sins. Say Alhamdulillah, so Allah will give you more, and so on and so forth, inshallah.
It is true that Ramadan is about worship and hard work, yet a clear message emerges from the teachings of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, "When the month of Ramadan starts, start working harder and struggle against yourself." Yes, indeed, it's the month of fighting the inner desires and temptations. It's all about embracing willpower and self-control. The goal is to be able to say no to wrong temptations much easier after Ramadan than before it. Hence, we shouldn't get tired or lazy in this month, but realize the fruits of those who work hard during it. In the final days before Ramadan, it is reported that Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam informed his companion Abu Salt of the need to ask for forgiveness from sins now, i.e. not wait until the night of Qadr. He explains that Tawbah at the beginning ensures we enter the month with sincerity. Imam al-Ridha also encourages the removal of hate from the heart towards any believer, the fulfillment of any dues or anything entrusted with us, and being concerned with that which is our affair rather than discussing the affairs of others.
Dear brothers and sisters, I wish you this Ramadan. You are gifted with blessings of Allah and many treasures, moments of joy. Ramadan Mubarak, and keep us in your dua and supplication. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.